I got one verse, then I'll be through, see. And but we have three more guys can fill the gap. Isn't that good? It's good when you don't have to shoulder everything. Okay. First off, I'm going to ask something. Does anybody have a question? Because I have the answer. I don't care what it is. Anybody? No question? You guys understand this from cover to cover, don't you? Yeah. Now I'm going to tell you what. You're putting a nail in your box if you say yes. Because that's no more excuses. No questions, huh? I love it when it's that. Really? Okay. Maybe it's like that. Guy can't drive. He's not too old to drive. He just quit. He's just giving everybody else a break. Corinthians number 1, chapter 16, if you want to turn. Now, I can read 20 lines in front of this, but I can only read 2 after it. So, you know, I mean, if you want it in context, I'll do all that. See, but it's a one liner statement, and so I just like to read that line. And if you have a question, I have the answer. You understand? I don't know is an answer. 16:32, 22. Ooh, I'm going to have to change my glasses again. 16:22. Anybody have a translation other than the NIV?
I got paraphrase.
Go ahead. That's a paraphrase? That's the same thing it says in my NIV. Anybody have anything different than that? No, you mean this is going to be straight across the board, huh? Yeah. It's going to be like that short. What's the shortest verse in the Bible?
Jesus where?
It's translated the same in every translation I've ever read. Isn't it? So we must all agree on that. Accursed. What? How many? Okay. I never heard that before. But then again,
it says
that's got to have a footnote under it, doesn't it? No? Well, I'm going to tell you, if it don't mean cursed, we're all getting led astray, because I don't want to know what that big word is anyway. You know, cursed is bad enough. You know? Okay? That's bad enough. I mean, you know, if you're cursed, the best I can recall from watching these old cursed movies that I used to do before Jesus came along and taught me that that wasn't good, those people were... at best, strange. At worst, raving maniacs. Okay? So I'm pretty much settled. You know, I can handle that definition. I mean, that I'm given. At best, strange. You understand? I mean, they call Christians peculiar. Words mean a lot of different things to different people. Some people like to be peculiar. If you don't think so, you look at the dress code today versus 10 years ago. You don't have to go back very far. The young people want to be peculiar. They want to be different. Huh? I can remember... in 1959, I was in the Air Force, stationed in Oregon, on a radar site. We had a total of about 140 people running at that radar site. So that's not many. I mean, you couldn't get a good fight going with 140 people. Unless they were Navy SEALs, then you could do some damage. But not with us, you know. You'd have to run most of them down if you wanted them to do anything. And I wanted to be different, so I grew my hair long. And in the military, you can't do this. They'd frown on long hair. Well, in order to overcome that, you see, I combed it back, straight back. And I greased it as tight as it took so it didn't fall down over my ears, so I could be different. But you see, different is not peculiar. We're supposed to be peculiar. I think peculiar should have derived from a word that a chicken does, peck. They're peculiar. You know, they just keep pecking at something that they want, that sustains them. Now, that may not be so, but I mean, it sounds good. A chicken will go out in the yard and peck in the dirt. Now, I know there's nothing in there for them to eat that's going to do them any good. I don't know whether you've ever watched chickens or not, but they'll do that in a yard. Now, in the chicken house, that's something else. They know where the food is, and that's where they go. They get in line. Now, that has nothing to do with 1 Corinthians 16:22. That's just freebies. Freebies. If anyone does not love the Lord, what does that mean? I'm taking comments now. I'm not up here to divide the word according to CB and trying to make you swallow it. I'm saying, hey, what does it mean to love? Eat them? I know you've told me 5,000 times at least how that you love Carol.
Love what?
Carol. Told you I needed this mic, didn't I? Yeah. I hear you. See? Still do. What does it mean to love Carol? What's the difference between Thelma, loving Carol, and you loving Carol? Oh, whoa. How about... Oh. And you love her heart. All right. See, we're getting somewhere here now, you know what I mean? I know it's going to come out.
And her nature.
Nature.
The nature and the
moods. Okay. How do you show this love for someone? And I'm picking on you because you're a good example, that's all. I mean, you know, hey, I'm not trying to find you a loophole, see? Because I don't, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you don't have one. But then again, that's you know, so okay. Be frank. How do you treat someone that you love?
Respect.
Devotion. Yes, dear. Respect. Respect. I like that. You see, we use a two-word phrase, thank you. And they sing songs about that, You know what I mean? A whole bunch of them has got thank you in it. Yes, dear. She says it's too hard to express. We feel so deeply towards someone, it's impossible to express it. And you see, I am in total agreement with what she says, because I don't know anybody that can express the love of Jesus that's in their heart, that God puts there. They can use a whole lot of words, but it comes short. See? You know, and so I've made an agreement with the Lord. See, he doesn't. I told him, I says, Lord, I am not a velvet tongue person. I don't know 10,000 little descriptive words to put on this thing that says I love you. Yada, 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 yada. I says, but I know how to say thank you. And I am appreciative of that. But that's one thing. Go ahead. Now you're going to have to speak it up a little bit. It's not enough, is it? You know what? I am convinced that words won't do it. Yes, sir. We're going to. The reason I'm chuckling is because that's where we're heading. You know what I mean? Eventually, you jumped about 4 acres of getting there, but hey, it's all right because that's where we're heading anyway. That's the way we show what's inside of us. See, we obey his commands. Yes, sir. Come on, it's all right. It's impossible to express in words. It's impossible. See? The Lord gives us this guide. You know, this is a guide. It's not the end. It's not the end of knowledge, and it's not the end of spiritual growth. It's just a guide to get from where we are to where he'll take us. Yeah, it's not the end of wisdom, though. We're going to know him one day as he is. Now, that's going to be the end of it. See, but it's not written in here, because we could get to the end if it was. I mean, wouldn't that be a... There's enough in here to keep you occupied for a couple hundred years if you happen to live that long and you're really looking. But it's not the end. How can you fathom what God is here? See? So how can we show... What drives the person's inner being to show his love to an individual? And you can do this. You can look at a lot of things that drives individuals, especially married people. People who care for each other. I don't know, when you say you're in love with somebody, you know, that is... A lot of people love before they mature. A lot of people love their dogs after they mature. See? I mean, you know, it's nothing wrong. It is a type of, but it is not the kind of love that God puts in your heart. You see? My favorite verse in the book is John 17 something or another. Okay, I'm going to look it up. It's going to take me about a minute. You guys be patient. If you need to eat, well, I'll buy you lunch. If we go to Wendy's. There's 99 centers there. This is Jesus speaking. And he's talking to the Father. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you. This is the lost people. The world does not know you. I know you. Jesus knows the Father. And they, my disciples, that's who he's praying for. They know that you have sent me. Okay, God the Father sent Jesus. Okay. I, Jesus, have made you, Father, known to them, my apostles and disciples. And I'm going to continue to do that. I'm going to make you known in order that. Now, here is the that. Listen to this. See? The love, Father, that you have for me, Jesus, because that's him talking. The love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Now, I'm going to tell you what. We come along, and if you never see that, you think, well, I love the Lord. It's just in me. You may get that far. I'm going to tell you why it didn't come out. It didn't originate in you. It originated in the Father. He gave it to you. He put it in your heart when you got a new heart. That's part of it. His Spirit comes along and occupies your, I don't want to say body, because if you lost your finger, you'd think you lost part of your finger, your spirit, and that's not the case. He puts it in your heart. In the new heart he gives you, his Spirit comes and lives in that part. That's holy. Because the Spirit won't live any place that's not holy. Huh? Is that true? Okay. I don't want to get off on a tangent here now. I mean, you know, if I make a left turn and on a one-way street, you tell me. So this love that drives us, once you have experienced God's love and the new heart that he gives you and the new spirit that he puts in you, this compels you. That's what the Spirit does. He compels you. That's a big word, isn't it? Is that not heavy duty? I mean, he doesn't come along and trick you into this and say, hey, boy, look in the Cracker Jack box and there's a prize in there. And then you look and the prize is something that you could have bought for 2 cents. You could have got it for a fraction of a cent in China where they made it. You see, so it's not worth anything, right? That's in the Cracker Jack boxes. They were in them when I was a kid. Used to throw the Cracker Jacks away and take the prize. Then I started putting more value in the Cracker Jacks. Gets on your side. The love God puts in your heart, it's impossible to express. Can't do it. There's no words to do that. But there's lots of actions that express it. Edomite, I'm going to pick on you. Since Lois is not here, I can't pick on you, Western. So, you know, she wouldn't get to enjoy it. So I'm going to pick on you. All right. Thank you. You would never entertain the thought of sneaking down to the river with 2 fishing poles and a strange woman, would you? No. Why? Why? I thought maybe you'd be worried about what you'd catch. Truth is, you don't want to do anything, absolutely zero, to hurt her. nothing. You would do nothing to hurt the person you love. Nothing. Now, the book tells us that we can show our love for Jesus by obeying his commands. I'm going to tell you what. Anybody don't think that's a full-time job? I got news for you. If you want to get on the examination block, we will show you where you're coming up short. Because in the very first place, you think it's not full-time. That's short. Because it is. Full-time. I'm reminded, the wife has a way of saying things to me. It's not orders. But it's information that if you don't process just right, it causes a lot of extra words to be used, you know, trying to explain why you didn't hear this just right. You know what I mean? I mean, I love the way she says, I left my glasses over on that table. Well, now, hey. That may not mean anything to some people. They say, well, what are you waiting on? Get up and get them. I know better. That is not the answer. She says, the other day she says, we're gonna have to wash a load. And she had two loads laying there, dark and white. We never mix them. I know some people do, but I mean, that's just the way it is. You see, at my house. And we went in the bedroom. She had these laid out there, you know. We're going to have to wash a load before we go, I guess, and get them in the dryer and then wash a load after we go, and then we'll rotate them. So she walked out the door, you know, going to the kitchen, you know. Guess what I grabbed? The first load. You know what I mean? Hey, that's just human stuff that you pick up on. See? Now.
I know some people wouldn't court that hint, though.
Well, I know that, and some of them have to quit driving when they get older. You know what I mean? Because they can't drive. It's not that they can't drive when they get older. They just never recognized the way they were driving all the way up to that age. See? They finally recognize, ooh, I'm doing things could get me killed. Yeah, see? But our motivation comes from our heart. See? It is not difficult to do things for my bride, for my wife. It's not hard. I didn't used to know how to run a washing machine and a dryer and a dishwasher. I'm still not too good at ironing, even though I got educated with that in the military. I can do it, but I have to work at it really hard. But these other things just fall right into place. I can retrieve a pair of glasses quicker than you can snap your finger. It's not hard. And I don't feel like I've been imposed upon. Do you know what? If Jesus says, I want you to forgive people when they offend you, some translation says sin against you. I have problems with that. You know, I mean, all sin is against God. You know, I mean, I'm not kicking people's translations. It's a way of saying something. You know, I mean, I'm just not out it. I'm not on a campaign to change all the words in the book. If you can understand sin against you, that's fine. You work it, because the Holy Ghost will work out the results. Okay? So, but if you take offense at what somebody does to you and you hold on to it, and it'll just eat you like one of those worms that gets in an apple. you know, until sooner or later, nobody's going to want that apple. He's going to have a whole family in there with him. I don't know how they do that. One worm gets a whole family, but they do. And you don't even want a bite that they hadn't been in if you know he's in there. I don't know about you. I never peel around these things, you know. You understand what I'm saying? One little thing you can hold against somebody, and you have gone against what the Lord tells you is your most serious sin. Do you understand that God didn't say, if you commit adultery, you're going to burn? He didn't say that. I forgive adultery is what he said. He didn't say that if you murder somebody, that's it. Your time's over. You cannot get forgiveness for that. He didn't say that. But he laid out one in the book that is very clear. Very clear. Tess, can you hear me? If you refuse to forgive someone when they sin against you, I, your Heavenly Father, will refuse to forgive you when you sin against me. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Don't look for one to come after that. It's not you sinning after that you got to worry about. It's that one right there that you worried about. You better be. Because you're refusing to do what he asked you to do. That's sin, any way you look at it. And you have to deal with it. See? There has been... You understand what oodles is? Oodles of talk. You know what oodles is? That's a southern word, I think. I'm not sure. It's not? Oodles come from up north, too? Oodles is universal. Oodles of talk. See? About the difficulty of following the Lord. Oodles of talk. Hasn't they been, my friend Western? How about it? Eat them. You know people that has a hard time doing that? Well, the best I have found in here, there's nothing that's hard to do. There's some things that if you don't do, it explains to you why. For instance, why do you guys fuss and quarrel? What's the explanation? Anybody know it? You know it? You know it. Anybody else?
We all have the need to be right.
Well, that may be. That's yeah, it's part. But the book says you fuss and you fight because you want to have your own way. Isn't that strange? I mean, you'd think you'd fight over who's going to inherit Bill Gates' fortune. You know, if you're going to fight over something, that should be, that'd be big enough. I mean, I don't know about, I don't understand parents teaching their kids that. They teach them not to steal or curse or lie. They teach them all these little rules that's beneficial to them, because if they ask the kid, did you do that? No. You know who did it? No. See, I have three children that grew up in my house where I live right now. They were all some size when we moved in. And if I went in the afternoon and found a hole in the wall, I'd say, hey, one of y'all do this? No. Who did it? I don't know. Has somebody been in the house? No, I don't know. Oh, ho, ho. We see, I learned a little remedy for that, see. What it meant to me is that I had three liars standing in front of me. See, that's the way I took it. And I used to say, okay, I'm going to give you one last chance. One of you can tell the truth, or two of you can tell the truth. And if all three of you may put the hole in the wall, you might as well just be quiet, because I'm gonna give you the same punishment. I said, now you can tell me the truth, or I'm going to take every one of you in the bedroom and light you fire. One at a time. And believe me, they all would stand by their guns. And me knowing that they lying. See? Do you know what? Me knowing it was deduction. The book says that people, the children of the night go out and do their stuff in the darkness because they think nobody's going to see them. And it's probably true. I mean, not many people are going to see them anyway. It depends on where they go. You know, if they get in a real dark place, nobody's going to see what you're doing. They may see the results later. Maybe twins, who knows? But somebody who is watching is someone you can't get away from. See? Now, he's not assigned to one of us per day. So in your life, you have God watching you under a microscope. And he's saying, I'm going to watch him all day long. I'm sorry. Hey, I don't know how this works. I just can't tell you how it works because I have no idea. But I understand how data sets work and how a master computer works. The big computer is sitting down here in computer headquarters. And all these little data sets talk to that thing all day. And they hear what it has to say. Now, they can't help it because it's a mechanical thing. See? But the master computer is sitting there, and if anything comes out of that data set, they know it. Just like that. Well, God's got a little bit better system than that. He picks up on our intent before we even do it. Before we think it, we have an intent. Now, I can't comprehend that, you understand? I'm just saying that's what he does. So we can't hide what we do. You can't hide loving him. Wouldn't be much advantage to that. Now, if you kick a hole in the wall, believe me, there's an advantage to trying to hide it. Mine never did learn that it cost all three of them the same price as the guy who did it. They were slow. And I never changed my tactics. I told them, I said, I'm not picking on you. Tracy can't ever say that I picked on her because she was the oldest. Ginger can't say I got away because I was the youngest. Because I dealt with them honestly and evenly. They all went to the bedroom when they lied. And they wouldn't tell me the truth. I said, you don't have to. You can suffer the consequences. I know God allows us to suffer things that we bring on ourselves. He allows that. He blesses also. Uh-huh. He'd rather bless than watch the suffering. Hadn't he? Well, don't you think so? If you ever had a child, I'm guaranteeing you, you'd much rather see them doing something that's beneficial to them or you or the family or just their friends Then you see in them tear up something that, oh boy, this is going to require, you know. Isn't that the truth? Will that fly all the way across the scripture? The Father would much rather bless us than to watch us learn the hard way. So, He doesn't give us an alternative, though. He says, whatever you sow, you reap. So don't go crying about it. I pucker up when I think He's forgiven me of all the stuff that I used to do, and I want to call it ignorance, but I hid in the dark to do it. So, I mean, you know, I wasn't ignorant. I just didn't want everybody to know my business, you know. That's the truth, see. But He's forgiven me for all that. So I come out with a clean slate. And then somehow or another, I don't know how God does this. He took out this old rotten, rock-hard, manipulating heart, and it must be a stinking place where He put it, because I know it's got lots of company. You know what I mean? A lot of people, this old heart just laying off there. Maybe it's over there further than the east is from the west. There's a big pile of them over there. You know, let's hope. Let's hope they're never found, because, boy, that would really be some bad times. But He puts in this new heart, and this new heart has His kind of love for His Son is now in you. If the Spirit of Christ lives in you, that same Spirit will enable you to love your wife correctly, also to love your brother correctly. Now, you ladies don't take offense, because I'm not picking on a gender. I mean, it enables you to love your sister correctly also, see? But then you are capable of loving. Do you understand? Before this takes place, you can't do it. You can't do it because it's not in you. God puts it there. Now, the thing that really messes the whole show up is that, I can't give you this example here, but let's say we had 8,000 of us sitting in here, and you were on row 57, and on row 93 over there in the right-hand corner is another family person. You know, you see them. You like the dress that they have on, or the coat and tie, or maybe you may see a beard sitting over there that you like. You know, you just, well, wow. But you never know these people. So one day, you see this one sitting over there I'm picking on you now, don't take offense. DJ, don't take offense. You see this person sitting over there, and one day you meet them. And all the things that you thought about them is suddenly shattered because, whatever's living in them is not the correct spirit. But they've been sitting back in one of those chairs. And you've been thinking, you know, they've been singing the song. Maybe they'll raise their hand once in a while. And so you think, why they do that? Because the same spirit that lives in you is not in them. See? It's not so, but I'm just using the example. Okay. You understand? And you live and you communicate and you associate with these people years sometimes before you get to know them in a large church. Now, in a small place like this, it only takes a little while. You can't hardly make it through Sunday till you're going to find out, you know, just what's cooking on the inside. You're going to find out what's on the burner. See, if it's not right, then the spirit that lives within you will bear witness. It's not true. I use Edom because I've been knowing Edom a long time. Longer than any of you guys. I used to go to a little Baptist church in Fort Mill. And the wife wouldn't come up here. This one was on Moorhead. She wouldn't come because she came one time and the service lasted about 4 hours. She was educated Methodist. At 11:45, they went home. With or without the preacher. So 4 hours. Let's see, who was those little? Oh man, I can't remember that group that was here, but they had it was over on Moorhead, and they had a little singing group. She couldn't wait to get out. She says, when we left, I am not going back to that. Those people are crazy. They don't have a clock. They are nuts. Well, she felt that way for about, I can't remember, but let me give you some dates and that'll clue you in. January 28th, 1976, to Mother's Day. I don't know how many days that is. It can't be too many. But between those days, she said that. Because she was lost as a goose. She carried a title, Methodist. We got a bill from that church once. She went to the Methodist church one time over where I used to live. And then she quit going. They sent her a bill for her tithes. I said, and I was lost. I was a nothing. And I told her, I says, look at him, baby. I ain't never been billed by a church. I mean, this is going too far. I don't know what you tied up in, but that, I don't like it. But anyway, that's just January 28th, 1976 till Mother's Day. Mother's Day, she got saved. 2 weeks I suffered after that. See? 2 weeks. I'm going to this little church she wanted to go to, and I'm sitting there saying, oh, Lord, let her see something. And he did. She says to me, second week, she says, he don't have much to say. He preaches the same thing every Sunday. He says, ain't people in here saved? He says, that's all he talks about, getting saved, getting saved, getting saved, getting saved. He says, don't they grow beyond that? I says, let's go back up to Lap Life. She says, okay, but the kids ain't going to like it. I know that. I says, how about we go, and if the kids do like it, we go. All right, she says. So we came next Sunday. They had children's church then. It was a little, well, it was fun. I had an opportunity to go down there a couple of times. They came back after church and says, oh, man, we had so much fun. When are we coming back? To Mama. I says, this is better than I thought. I mean, I just wonder to come up here, you know. Now you got everybody convinced. I love it. You do good. See? And he did. Getting back to Edom. I walked into this little church down in Fort Mill. Now, and I'm standing at the back. See? Now, I don't know how many they hold. How many do you think? 200, 300 people. They had a lot of, they had pews, right? Those pews wasn't seats. They had pews, big old pews. They're out there. I'm on the back. I'm just standing back there looking. And I looked over and saw this guy sitting down there, and he had his arm around Carol, you know. I looked down and I says, I think he's a real one. I think that one's for real. I didn't know him from squat. Never saw him in my life, did I? Never met. Right after church, we got together. Well, it didn't take long. Like I'm saying, it just didn't take long. We got past the preliminaries real quick. It might have been the first question he asked me. How long you known Jesus? I said, not long, but I'm growing. I'm on the way. I guess I'm learning as much as I can. I tried to cram it all. I tried to take a cram course. It just don't work. It's better you let him lead you along. You know what I mean? You get all antsy if you try to jam too much in there. See? Yeah, it didn't give me a headache because I never had a headache from trying to learn. Some people do, I guess. But I don't understand that. But I thought I had to read everything that there was. And then I learned one day. He does it. John 17. He does it. Now, he forecast this over in Ezekiel. Is that where it is? I'm going to take out that old filthy heart of yours, and I'm going to put it in a new heart of flesh, yada, yada, yada. In the Old Testament, it don't mean much because you figure, well, they cut a lot of people open in the Old Testament. Whack, whack, you know. Cut your head off and take all your belongings. It belonged to them then after they, you know, they did a lot of this. I mean, it's kind of like Chunk E. Cheese, somewhere to go, you know. Every spring they'd make a raid, and that's the way life was in those days. I'm glad it's changed somewhat. Now you don't have to wait to spring. You just have to make sure someone doesn't, you know, decide they want your belongings on the weekend. If you happen to go away, they'll take them, see. But it doesn't matter. You know what? Because I'm not going to take any of them with me. Nothing. And so the Lord started teaching me one thing at a time because he didn't want to overload my circuit. See? He started teaching me little things like you shouldn't put too much value on these golf clubs. I mean, I saw it later in the work. You don't need to love the world nor the things of the world. So I loaned my golf clubs out to a boy that never played golf in his life. Now, you know, I'm going to tell you what. You know, it's kind of like owning a Rolls Royce and some 14-year-old kid comes up and wants to borrow it. They want to drive it in the demolition derby. And you're thinking, boy, never going to happen. See? But you see, the never going to happen is simply because here you put a value on the Rolls Royce more than you do the child. And I had values on things more than I had on people. And the Lord started dealing in all those areas, one at a time. He didn't do them all at the same time. I hope I wouldn't rebel against it, but I might have. I don't know. I just know that's the way he did it in me. If you get delivered from everything on day one, hallelujah. That's something to shout about. And I'm serious, because then you don't have, you know, you can walk the straight and narrow. Pleasing all the way. So once you get delivered of all these worldly things that has hooks in you, it is easy then to see your brother in need and take his shirt off, man. You just say, him. That's my favorite shirt, and it doesn't matter. It's easy to keep the word, to obey his commands, isn't it? Once you come there, once the Spirit is operating freely with your cooperation, it's easy. You don't even have to think about it. And I tell you, you guys getting, if you want to go, you just holler. I know how to say amen. We can quit any time. You know, if it bothers you, add something. I'll listen. I remember this guy come to my house one night. He was a brother. It was cold. Cold here is 25 degrees. That's cold, though. I mean, if you're in short sleeve shirt, 25 degrees is cold if you're outside. See, so he came. Man, it's cold out there. And I said, where's your coat, man? He said, I don't have a coat. So I took him over to the closet. And we're in my house now. It's got a closet. It's not real, real big, but it's a closet. I opened the door, and I says, pick you one out. I got wall-to-wall coats in there. They still, right now, they're so full, you can't get it. You got to pinch them. Hold it open and slide one in and let it all slap back together, see? It's them things that Don was talking about. You know, we collect things in the world. We just don't want to throw away nothing, you know, I guess. But anyway, I go over and I open the door and I says, help yourself. The reason I could do this, because I'd already went past the golf clubs. You understand? If I didn't deal with the golf clubs, I would not have given him a coat, let alone this one. Look at here. He says, I like this one. And I says, it's my favorite. I love that coat. I says, try it on. He put that thing on. He says, man, that's good and warm. I says, it's yours. Free. See? Free from something that had me earlier. See how it works? Now, if I hadn't dealt with the first thing the Lord brought me to, I'd still be bound. And I'd have a miserable life. Because it's that worm theory. Once he gets in the apple, he is not going to stay by himself very long. If he has to make company, he's going to have it. Whatever it is that has a grip. See, you don't possess things. They possess you. See, they just got you. And you hold on to it for dear life. I don't care what it is. I tell people, you should turn loose of everything except what you're going to take with you when you leave here. Now, you can hold on to that. You better. But everything else, it's a hook. Right here. You think you got it, but guess what? Mm-hmm. It's going to take you where it wants you to go. Huh? Not pleasant. But to be free from it, it's a beginning. It's like cracking that first little crack in the ice. You know, you step on ice and you see that thing crack a little bit. You better take heed, because you take another step and you're going to get wet. Huh? Now, if you'll back up, you'll be dry and very thankful. If anybody's ever been in through the ice, I don't know whether you have or not. That's an experience that you'll never forget. I can guarantee it. Nobody ever been through the ice but me? Wow, you guys have missed it. I'm going to tell you what. Well, no, that's true.
Some of us are smarter. We don't know where the ice is.
We don't even know where the ice is.
My friend watched me do it, too. And he was as close as this mic. I reached out my hand for him, and he said, ha, 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 bloom, right through the ice I went. And I thought, oh, I was too cold to throw him in. I really was. All I wanted to do was get out. You know, I lost my balance. That's what it was. I was looking over, and we was tracking a rabbit, believe it or not, in the snow. And he went out on ice. And I'm looking at this little rabbit track, and my foot went zip, slipped a little bit, and I felt myself going, and I was already leaning over. And when I reached back for my buddy to help me, he watched me. Boom! I went right in, up to here. Of course, that's all your clothes you got on, you know what I mean? And when I came out, I was soaking wet. And big time cold. And about a mile and a half from the house. That was fun. I'll never forget that. I never mess around with ice anymore. I let the rabbits go where they wanted to. Sometimes people learn quick. You know, it just depends on what's teaching you. You know what I'm saying? If we don't love Jesus, it's just all that's telling you is, hey, if you don't love him, you have already fell through the ice. Isn't that what it's saying? If anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be on him. I never did. I don't understand this. Be on him. A curse is on him. I grew up around people who we thought were cursed because they were strange. Not peculiar, strange. I knew some peculiar people that had this thing in here that I didn't know what it was, that motivated them to do things that I just can't believe they did. Some of those things was being nice to other people. I never understood that. You know what I mean? I always thought, you'd be ugly to me, buddy. I'm gonna find a way to return it. I'm going to return that serve. Ping pong. See? But I found out it's better if you just catch the ball. That stops the game. Huh? See how it works? Makes life so much better. I think the question for everyone is, do I love Jesus? And am I in love? You understand? I'm a catcher on words now. I want you to listen to this word. It's not, okay. Listen to this word. With him. Because you can love Jesus because he gives to you all day long. He gives me, and you can fill in the blank. He gives me rock and roll in the morning. I can get it done, yeah. He gives me talent. He gives me money. He gives me a safe place. He let me get born in America. Oh, my. What a gift. But the Lord is a giver. But if you love him because he gives, that's a one-way thing. That's not being in love with him. To be in love with Carol would be just wonderful. But if you just loved her and she didn't love you back, I'm going to tell you what, life is really tough. Most miserable. Right? Is that not the way? That's truth. You can be in love with Jesus, and enjoy life to the fullest. If, heaven forbid, you love him because he's, and you can fill in the blanks, I love Jesus because, I don't love Jesus because, I mean, it's good. I'm not kicking having one of these kind of shirts because I like them. You know, they're just soft and they feel good and they don't scratch me up. You know what I mean? And they don't lose the form when they go in the dryer. You know, now, you know, some of them go in this long and come out this short. You know, I mean, I love Jesus, but I'm in love with him. See, that's a different state. That's different. Because, see, if he don't put the love in you, what you're doing is loving him to get. That's where we come from. Before the Father puts his love into our hearts, what we're operating on is, how did the babies do it? How do they do it when they want something? So here comes mama, bottle or something, changing diapers, bottle, holding pad, comfort, huh? Babies do that. Let me tell you what, grown people do it too. If you don't believe it, watch. Watch. Here's one I've heard. And I had a guy tell me this at AT&T. Everything in that book is not right. I said, really? That's true. Everything in there is not right. I said, well, just tell me what hadn't worked for you. He says, I've been seeking the Lord and I couldn't find him. That's a lie. I says, well, that's pretty good. Out of the millions of people they have been, who have come along since he put that in there, you're the first one that's happened to. You are a rare individual. I says, it's good to know you, my friend. I hope you do well in in life, but I don't give you much chance. I've had people that I associate with tell me the same thing. I've been trying so hard. I've been reading the book. I've been praying. I should have named them. I've been to go in here and there. And nobody's at either place that's going to give to me what I'm looking for. I guess it, you know, when you get your fill of something. Has anybody ever had their fill of something? You just had it up to here. You just don't want any more. I'm going to give you an example or two, and then I'm going to quit. Then the other three guys can do their thing. We'll be here to 4:00. That'd be so good. That'd be almost a switch in life. That'd be a test. When I was in Pakistan, I was in the military. I was in Pakistan too. See, Korea and Pakistan. I got enough. When I was in Pakistan, I went to see. We didn't have a whole lot to do, okay? I mean, we just didn't have a whole lot to do. But we had a movie on base. And they had 5-cent popcorn. We ate in the afternoon when we got off. We ate at 3:30 in the afternoon. Well, I'm here to tell you, by 11 o'clock, bud, we didn't have a McDonald's on base. We didn't have anywhere on base to eat except the mess hall and the pool. And after one of my little excursions to the pool and what it caused, I didn't go back and eat anything else over there. Okay? So I got enough of that real quick. But I saw 330 movies in Pakistan. Well, I went 330 times. I kept up with them. Now, some movies I saw 5 times. so I can't count them. I went 330 times. Do you understand? If I never see another movie, I don't care. Now, I still like popcorn, but it don't cost a nickel over here. Now, I got a limit on that, see. I'm not paying $5 for a bag of popcorn. Good granny. That's time. But I've had enough of it. And I don't want it more. See? Something in me makes me believe that's how the Lord draws people to an intimate relationship with Him. They just get enough of the artificial. I believe it. Now, I may find out that's not true one day, but until then, I'm going to enjoy this that I believe. Okay? You don't have to believe it. I'm not preaching this as the truth. I'm not preaching anyway. But I had enough of the old life that I was living to the point that a know nothing about this or church or people even who belonged, that I was willing to take a chance to get away from where I was, to the point that I said, I don't care what the cost is. If you're real, I'm going to give you my life. You can do with it whatever you want to. I don't care. I know there's jungles that hadn't had a white man in them, and I'll go if you say so. You know, I don't want to, but I'll go. I think a person has to come to that point in their life. I don't think you're going to get there just by, well, today it's not raining, so I think I'll just do something really productive. I think I'll just go out in the backyard and look up in the sky and call on Jesus. And He's going to deliver me and set me free. And hallelujah, I'm going to just shout it from the mountaintops. I just don't think that happens. I think poor old people just have to get into a state of misery, and they have to get so enough of what they're getting that they want to do something about it. Then I think it happens. See, well, Wester and I were talking this morning last night, about the Lord calls people. He does. He calls you. You don't call Him. So He's drawing. And I told him, I just had a thought, and I really, and this may be, I don't know, this may be a truth. Listen to this. I believe God starts calling you even before you come from the womb. He's calling. He's calling. But we don't hear, see? And when we get out of the womb, there's so much racket going on. We contribute to that. But there's all kind of racket and just distractions, and they just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and He's still calling. And so one day, we come to the point, man, I have had it with this. If this is all there is to life, I'm going to do it somewhere else, and I'm going to make Evel Knievel look like a wussy. Now, I don't know how you think of Evel Knievel, but I used to think he was a little bit off. I mean, anybody that wants all their bones in their body broke, I think they're a little bit off. Now, strange is not a good word. Off. Somewhere else. way off from normal people. But see, God doesn't call you just one day out of the wild blue. He says, well, number 6,732,000,000 is ready, so I think I'll call him. CB! That's me. Because I really believe I come close to hearing him call me in Pakistan. But it just, too much distractions, too many things, too many, no, all his options. Oh man, it's hard to get serious with the Lord. It is so hard to make that decision for real. Now, it's easy to make one of them overnight camping decisions. You know what I mean? Because you want to eat breakfast the next morning. You're afraid they won't give you breakfast if you don't make the right, you know what I mean? So that's easy. And it's easy to do one of these flippant things like, well, okay, Lord, save me. And the first trial that comes up, boing, you fail. Because you're not suited up right, see? You get suited up in here. Can't love Jesus unless God puts the love in there. Because it's not in you. My explanation for that is a 3-word sentence in the Word. It goes, God is love. Right? It doesn't say, as much as I love my brother, doesn't say Edom is love. Or Eve. Or Adam. God is love. And so he chose the most fabulous way to put it in us. He just inserted it in this new heart, yanked the old one out, put the new one in, and it's there. Now, to reap the bennies, you put it to work. And you do what he commands. And his commands are not, what's that word?
Grievous.
Okay. Hard. I'm looking for one of those burr words. Burdensome. They're not hard. They're hard without the heart. They are impossible. There's a little liner in the Word that says this. Without holiness, no one will see God. How are you going to get there? How are you going to do it in the flesh? Huh? He does it. See? Isn't he good? See, we think we good sometimes because we do something good, but he is really good. I don't appreciate him because all my things function. You know, I don't have any arthritis or so far I hadn't broken any bones in a long, long, long time. I think my nose is the last thing got broke. But I was riding a tricycle, so that's how far back that was. I don't love the Lord because I receive things or I'm well off in a position. I hope that I'll be able to live this out. I think I won't have a problem, but I hope that if I do, I'm just going, if I got sense enough at that time, I'm going to tell Martha, just run me off in the desert somewhere and leave me, because I don't want anybody to witness it. See, but I hope that I have in me the same thing that was in Bev. Never complained. I saw it in an uncle. never complained. They cut off both of his legs because it was cheaper to do two than one. Isn't that strange? Never complained. But in here was holy. This place. Holy. And he does it. We don't do it. He does it. We just need to represent him well in the world that we travel in. And if it's in here and it's for real, we will do it. If it's in there and it's fake, I can guarantee you his enemy will expose you. You can't get away with squat. If you wanted to get away, if you wanted to steal a paperclip, you'd get caught. Because your enemy would expose you. See, for being a what? Well, it's the thing that kept me out of church for so long. Because I was convinced I would have been one had I went down there as a young person. I'd have been one of those hypocrites. I'd have been a good one. I know I would have been, see. I'd have been top on the list. See? And now I just wonder. The only thing I wonder about is the Lord's deception. What in the world did you want with CB? I could see why he wanted with Edom. Yeah, I could. I know he can't, but I could. I could see why he wanted with Western. But I look at me in the mirror and I say, hey, I remember where I come from. These guys didn't even know me where I come from. Woo! Which is good. But he loved me anyway. Which is amazing. A love. Amazing love. We have trouble forgiving someone when they just follow us too close. We have to think about it. Hopefully we think the right things in the end. Because you don't need to keep it in you. No matter what. Because it's not hurting the other person. It's just going to cost you everything if you don't. So it'd be silly to pay tithes, come to church, waste this whole 2 hours. When you could be watching, you know, I don't even know what's on TV. Between 10 and 12. I hadn't seen it in years. But there's something on there. I guarantee you the world's watching something. But it'd be better for you to spend time. I tell people, it'd be better you join the country club. Now, I know a few things about them. I don't have the money to get in them, but I had some people. I know some people that belongs to them. I say, be better you join the country club than to play church. You'll get a lot more out of it. And them boys pat you on the back. Hey, what do you say, CB? When you gonna buy a car for me? Well, they think a lot of you. But being in the body of Christ produces a love for each other. And you see me pointing there? I got both of you. And you, I can do it. Why? Because I'm such a sweet, loving person. Because what he put in here compels me to do right. Compels me to do what he did. Because he loved us while we were in our sin. So can I love the lost? Oh, yeah. Easy. I know they don't know what they're doing. I know that. That's a big trade. I mean, you know, golly, it don't make any difference what they're doing. Trading that for eternity with the Creator? What kind of deal is that, man? I mean, if you could sell that, you ought to be able to sell anything in the world for double the price. Is it hard walking out Christianity? Only if you want to have your way.